And you like that here for me?
Yes,
right,
right there. Right there. There you are. All right. Good evening and welcome to Politics Now.
Good evening, everybody.
With your host, Bob Weinstein, former mayor of the city of Ketchikan. And, well, we're not sure where the former state rep, Kyle Johansson, might be.
I bet he's on the way.
You think he's on the way?
Yep.
Do you see him coming in the door?
No, I don't yet.
Oh, okay. Well, here we are, Politics Now. This is one of our newest volunteer shows. Bob and Kyle are volunteers. They come in every other week and are on the air talking about local, state, and national politics. And they have opposing views, and every once in a while they absolutely agree with one another in what we're talking about. And
he just walked in the door.
He did just walk in the door. So this is a call-in show.
6:32, not bad for not
Kyle. if you would care to join in this evening's conversation, the numbers to call if you live in Ketchikan, Saxman, or Metlakatla, 225-9655. If you live on Prince of Wales Island, or you're somewhere in the state of Alaska, it's 1-800-557-5723. You can stream us online. And if you live outside of the state of Alaska, you can also stream us, or you can give us a call at 907-225-9655. And you may tweet us. I do not have the tweet open tonight for our viewing pleasure. So if you know Bob or Kyle's tweet, tweet them. Because I'm not paying attention, we have a pledge drive.
Tweet Kyle.
Tweet Kyle. We have
he's more competent with Twitter than I am.
That's definitely true.
Well, you know, it's...
No doubt about that.
I didn't want to say
it's generational.
It is generational. You're not exactly a natural, but you're closer to the naturals than Bob and I are.
Right. Yes.
They just don't even think about it. So before we go, though, on, and I relinquish everything to you two, two rules. And that is no profanity, no name-calling, and the opinions and views expressed on tonight's show are not the opinions and views of the KRBD staff, the KRBD Board of Directors, and most of the KRBD membership.
I've got the list of staff and board members right in front of me, and I think some of them agree with.
Right, and I bet a lot of the members agree with one or the other of us. So anyway, but it's not the official view,
not a blanket
of the members.
There are no blankets here.
And hopefully people are listening and will call in as we get into it. We should have a great show tonight. We'll be talking about the local presidential caucuses, the state budget, national issues, including the presidential race and the latest on the Supreme Court nomination, and local legislative races.
What's first,
so
there,
you,
Bob?
You go ahead and pick one. No, you.
Should I ask if the two of you agreed before we came in tonight? Okay. Now I'm going to be quiet.
I'm trying to be polite to him.
No.
Well,
if I get
for the next 5 minutes.
If I'm going to start, I'm going to start off with, I just drove up here. Just now.
Right.
And right across from Schoenbar, this is like a little bit of frosting because we have this show and people seem to like it, and now we've got the board of directors and the station manager under our thumb. Bob, we're so popular they can't kick us off. There'd be a riot in Ketchikan. The listening area would be absolutely crazy. So I can jump in here. See, Stuart's already getting
a
ready.
A riot?
Yes.
Stuart's going out to get a baseball bat in case
we have
to
armies that we can control.
Right.
Now, across from Schoenbar, the old tennis courts. Now, this is the borough property. The old tennis courts and basketball court that used to be right there, right next to the Quonset hut now that's used for baseball and Schoenbar and the skate park and this whole area that is completely about school and recreation. And for some reason, the borough parks a bunch of trucks on the old tennis courts and puts a bunch of old signs and piles of dirt.
And so it's become a parking lot and storage area.
Right. It used to be tennis courts and a basketball court. I was just wondering, I don't know if you know anything about that. You're a big tennis player, aren't you?
I'm a better ping pong player, actually.
But then you go up next to the rec center, and they built that facility just south of the rec center.
The maintenance facility.
Maintenance
school
facility.
School district. And school I heard district. They were going to share it. I don't know if they have
right.
yet. Yeah.
Completely empty parking lot. Like, you could fit all of the stuff down that's parked on top of tennis courts and move it up to this area. So that's my topic for the day.
Really? Okay. Well,
you're next.
I'll get into, we had local presidential caucuses in Ketchikan.
I read your name in the paper.
The Republicans had theirs, about 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Yep.
And
we start this, we have to find out, what is your official position? Because the Daily News was quoting Bob Weinstein.
No, they did not quote me.
They reported that you were there. You were actively taking part. So let's disclose before you start talking about this.
I mean, everybody knows I'm an active Democrat.
But you have a position in the
party? I don't have a party position, and I was there assisting those who do because we had an incredible turnout.
So you'd be an enthusiastic volunteer.
I was an enthusiastic volunteer.
Okay. You didn't have any official position during the caucus at all?
I helped register people.
So you are a registrar?
I am a registrar, yes.
Okay.
I can register anybody. Yep, so I did that.
We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, and then I helped when we had so many people show up. We had about 240 people show up, which is way more than expected. In fact, we ran out of supplies and had to go on several runs to get them.
That's roughly 220 people more than went to the Republican one, I hear. But anyway,
well,
I don't know,
but it's a different thing. The Republican one, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Donald Trump won locally and Ted Cruz won in the state, and then the Republican Party said they're tied because Rubio had dropped out, and yesterday they said, oh, no, Rubio wrote us a letter, so we're going to give him his delegates back because he didn't drop out, even though in California, Rubio sent a letter to California, please take me off the ballot. I've dropped out.
Right. So they can do whatever they want.
Right, they can do whatever they want.
So tell us about the Democrats, because you were involved.
So we had a big turnout, and it reminds me of 2008 when we had a huge turnout in Ketchikan, again, way more than expected. And in 2008, it was about 75% Barack Obama versus Hillary Clinton. I don't know the exact percentage of the other day, but it was very similar to that, 75-80% for Bernie Sanders and the balance for Hillary Clinton. But it was very well done. We had a lot of people show up. We had a lot of people interested. We elected new officers. Terry Robbins, retired teacher, well-known in the community, for a number of reasons.
And what's her role now?
She is now the local Democratic Party chair.
Oh, she took over for the judge,
Schultz. Tom Schultz, who's done yeoman's work for a number of years.
What exactly is yeoman's work?
Yeah, I think it means hard
and what's
work.
A yeoman, Bob? First of all, tell me that.
Why don't you join the Navy and ask them that question? But Terry's the new chair, and we elected other officers, and we can send 12 delegates to the state convention, and we had 12 volunteers, or more, actually, because there was a vote. There were probably 20, 25 people who wanted to go to the Alaska State Democratic Convention. So anyway,
so you guys had competition for the 12 seats.
Yes.
You guys were fighting over.
Well, it was a very, I would call it a fight. People,
I mean, not a real fight.
People put their names in. They said a few words so everybody knew who they were and why they wanted to go to the convention. And anyway, it was very interesting. And as you saw, statewide, we'll move into statewide, same thing, Bernie Sanders, overwhelming winner in the state Democratic caucus.
Right.
And
89%, 84%, something like
that. Yeah, something like that, 82, something like that.
So
but
Bernie Sanders dominated Alaska.
The turnout was huge. It was huge. So
what does that tell you as a Democrat operative?
Well, it tells me that, especially in caucus states versus primary states, so you usually, including in this case, got less people, quote, voting than you might if it was a regular primary election. But certainly people who are following the election come out. And Bernie Sanders has certainly generated a lot of enthusiastic support, including among a lot of young people.
Okay, so in Alaska, with the Democrats, there's no primary for the president.
Not for president. There will be later for legislature.
For legislature,
and
sure. But they're
Senate
not going to be on the August ballot that says it's all done, and Republicans as well, through the caucus system.
Correct.
Okay, so here I read an article last night about this exact situation in Anchorage. A Democrat who went to the convention, supported Bernie Sanders, and then the election went down and all of that stuff, and contacted the superdelegate, the person who can choose however they want it. They can give it to Hillary. They can give it to Sanders. Nobody can ask why. It's their personal decision. And the person told this Bernie Sanders supporter, I don't care that your candidate got 80% of the vote. I'm giving my delegate to Hillary Clinton.
Right. What
is going on with that?
Well, each of the parties, for better or worse, has rules. And one of the rules that I think both parties has involved superdelegates. They're usually people who, by virtue of their office, like they could be U.S. senators or member of Congress, they could be governors. In this case, the person you're talking about is one of the national, she's the national committee woman from Alaska. So
sure.
Longtime active Democrat. And okay. So it's not surprising to me that she might be a Hillary Clinton supporter. And superdelegates, unlike delegates who are bound by the outcome of a caucus vote.
By the actual number of votes.
Right.
That you get.
Are not. And so she apparently indicated that she is a Hillary Clinton supporter. Now, were I in her shoes, I might have responded a little bit differently to what I read and try to have a different kind of discussion. But I understand why the person who's, I think, a political science student from Wasilla or somewhere up there, you know, just try to contact her and say, hey, we had such an overwhelming
right, well,
turnout.
That's what superdelegates.
Would you consider changing? And actually, the vice chair of the Alaska Democratic Party, who I believe is a superdelegate, because he announced he was changing from a Clinton supporter to
sure.
be a Bernie Sanders supporter because of the outcome.
But the point being that these people, these, quote, superdelegates, they don't care what the vote was. They can cast their vote any way they want to.
Right. I mean,
right, period. I mean, that guy could change back and go. Because when President Obama was elected early in the race, if I recall correctly, the superdelegates were either neutral or predominantly in Secretary Clinton's corner. And by the time the momentum of the Obama campaign caught fire, they in droves moved over to the basically to the Obama side and effectively clinching the nomination.
Right.
And that's what's going on. And that's what Bernie Sanders is saying, hey, if I can get these superdelegates on my side, that's my path to the nomination.
He thinks he can catch up. Now, the numbers are still daunting for him, but...
But if all the superdelegates go, we're going to go with Bernie, and then others change their mind, it could happen.
Yeah, keep in
right?
mind Hillary Clinton has won, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, quite a few states.
And who are these superdelegates? Do you know who they are? There's like...
By name?
In the Democrat Party,
no, as I said, generally it's like the Republicans. It's usually governors,
well, let's talk about
senators.
The Democrats, because that's what we're talking
okay.
about. There's like 1,400 superdelegates
well,
across the country.
We have a national committee man and a national committee woman, and it was
right.
the woman who was involved in that communication and article that you're talking about. I don't know who the others are. I assume the chair of the party could be. The vice chair, if I understand correctly, is...
all the sitting legislators.
No,
I believe it is. Yeah, I believe that the sitting congressmen and senators are automatically
that may be, but not Alaska House of Representatives. I don't think each of the Democrats is a superdelegate. I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah, I think governors, lieutenant governors.
Governors are, but not individual state legislators.
Not individual legislators? Huh.
I don't think so. I could be wrong.
Hmm. But nonetheless, you've got a bunch of basically establishment party people who
right.
are going to follow Clinton anyway.
Some might, yeah, and some might not.
And you don't find that any concern with all of these people that can just snub. Basically, this lady sent an email back to this student and snubbed her nose and said, I'll basically take my vote and do whatever I want. I don't care about your 86%.
Right.
Like Bernie
and,
dominated. Like,
right.
how is your party
yeah.
can look
well,
itself in the mirror with
keep
that
in
kind
mind,
of
with the
activity?
Bernie Sanders of the 12 delegates from Ketchikan to the state convention.
What did
Bernie
Sanders, yeah, what happened here?
Bernie Sanders has got 10. So it's very...
10 out of 12.
10 out of 12.
All right, that's pretty close.
And they're 80%. Bound to, yeah.
You guys did good.
Yeah.
What's wrong with your statewide party?
Probably the same thing that's wrong with
playing
yours.
Playing games.
Well, yours said
Macho
Cruz
head
won,
games.
Then they said Cruz and Trump were tied, and now they say...
I'm not yelling Bob today. You know? I'm not yelling Bob. I haven't said Bob once today.
Okay.
I just yell Macho head games. What else?
Well, why don't we talk about the national presidential race and also certain things about the Supreme Court, including our senators continued flip-flopping on the issue. But
yeah, guide us through that, because I want to, after the top of the hour, head back into the state and talk about the state budget, because we got some, this is called a tease. You know, Bob's not in the radio business. He doesn't know how to tease the second half of the show.
So you can go ahead
good
and tease.
Good job.
Right?
You yeah, go, pretty good. Go for it.
So, I mean, coming up in the second half, we want to talk about the state budget, because the state came out with some really, well, if you're a local taxpayer, it's going to affect your pocketbook.
Well, they're building a bridge.
No, don't.
No, they are building a bridge. That's what they said.
And also the interesting dynamics of the state candidates from our district, which ties back to our first topic, which is the local conventions, because I think there's some real interesting dynamics going on there.
Okay.
There may be a big announcement at the end of the show. Just kidding.
Oh, really?
We didn't see teases on social media about the big announcement, did we?
No, because there isn't one. It's just a joke. All right, so what's going on back east now?
Well,
Bernie Fever, he swept Washington
and Hawaii.
Not that it matters, because the superdelegates do whatever they want, but... Good for Bernie.
He gained delegates and kept his momentum, and he's, you know, Wisconsin is next week. That's the big one for both parties, and there's a poll today that shows him slightly up over Clinton. At least on the Democratic side, delegates are, I believe, apportioned based on congressional districts. So if you win a congressional district, I think you get all or most of the delegates. So they'll be splitting regardless of who might win the popular
vote. See, that's another problem, is every state has different rules for this. And so...
And on the Republican side, Cruz, according to today's poll, was up over Trump by 10 points
in Missouri?
And Wisconsin.
Or Wisconsin, I mean.
So, you know, polls have been unreliable this year, so I wouldn't put much faith into either.
But now, Cruz have to win, like, 68% of the remaining?
Yeah, 69% of the delegates. And, you know, he's been trying to get John Kasich to drop out. John Kasich says, no, I'm not going to drop out. I can win at... contested or broken.
You know why?
Kasich is
angling for a high. This is what I think, because I think Trump is looking. I mean, look what he did with Dr. Carson. I would not be surprised if Kasich ends up with a very high position if Trump were to ultimately be the president or the nominee. I mean, he can announce that. They do that sometimes during the election. Kasich is he's a solid guy, but he's not going to light the electorate on fire. But he'd be a good guy in your cabinet. He's a smart guy. He's got a lot of experience.
Yeah. But Trump, since the last show, I believe he won Arizona pretty overwhelmingly. He had a event with Sheriff Joe Arpaio, or however you pronounce it.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Who, as an aside, has cost his county $143 million in settlements due to some of the policies and profiling and other things he's done.
One could argue that those were preliminary lower court decisions by liberal judges. Right. So, I mean, come on.
So, no, those are actual payments. But
you got a point.
And I think Cruz won Idaho and somewhere else. Utah. Mm-hmm.
The Mitt Romney led.
Both of which were caucus states. And, of course, Donald Trump didn't do himself any favors when he said, I'm not sure Mitt Romney is really a true Mormon, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing, and this is an issue on which I have very strong feelings. Cruz said after Brussels, when there were the murders and terrorist attacks in Brussels, that the U.S. should institute special patrols in American Muslim neighborhoods, even though if you see photos of American Muslims, some may look like you or me, some may be blonde, blue-eyed, some, you know, different skin colors, et cetera, et cetera. No real easy way to identify one, despite what Cruz might think. So, you know, that's how things got going in Nazi Germany.
I was going to say, maybe they should find all of them and make them wear some sort
special
of...
Special patrols. And then it was walls and barbed wire and jackboots and et cetera, et cetera. So while a number of Republican and Democrat politicians condemned Trump when he said he wanted to ban Muslims, there was very little from the Republican side, including, I'm sorry to say, Senator Murkowski and the other two members of the Alaska congressional delegation said nothing about a suggestion that there be political oppression of religious groups in the United States. And to me, that's personally appalling. I think our elected officials, regardless of party, need to speak out when there's suggestions for such injustice. And you know, I don't care if somebody's running or not running. There's no excuse for not saying that's wrong. And Senator Cruz has to rethink that if he wants to move forward and represent all Americans.
Wow. Very nice. Here, so, let me help you off that box there.
I'm not on a box. I don't need to be on a box to say that. I mean, we've seen that history already, and
so you're basically saying that Cruz is basically channeling Hitler. That's what
I'm not,
direction that
I'm
we're
not
going.
Make, not,
that America
I'm
is
not
going
doing
towards jackboots and
not doing
things
the
like
comparison,
that. I mean, come on, that's not going to happen.
But when you start,
that's not going to happen in this country.
When
that's
a
ridiculous.
President starts saying that, or a presidential candidate starts saying that, given you know, some of the white supremacist groups and others in the country who might think, hey, that's a good idea. Let's persecute a religious group.
Seriously, and I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But in this day and age, I mean, in the late 1920s in Germany, in the early 1930s, and all of that history, those were times when people did not have access to what was going on. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't have an understanding. These days, when Cruz says something like that, 50 million Americans get it on their smartphones immediately. I mean, it doesn't fly anymore. I mean, I understand what you're saying, right. But the information is so immediate and out right. there, and it's appalling, and those candidates have to live with that. So, yeah, right. Is Cruz hurting himself by saying things like this? Of course. But these days, it's coming back to bite him. I'm sure that if there was Twitter when Hitler was running around and everybody heard everything that he said to every different group, that obviously must have. Okay, so you think that? I mean, come on, seriously, really?
The unfortunate fact is that in Germany, a lot of quote good Germans stood by and they knew.
Well, they knew
what was happening. They knew when the camps were built. They knew when the crematoria were operating.
Do you think if
and later some of them said, "Well, we didn't know." Well, they did know, and we all know what.
Right,
Cruz,
exactly,
we all know
because
what,
they heard it in some whisper in the back
Cruz,
room.
But Cruz for. Somebody to say that, and then for our elected officials in Alaska, and I'm talking about the federal officials, to remain silent was and is of personal concern to me.
Come on. So, if you expect the delegation to comment on every wacko thing Ted Cruz says, or Donald Trump says, or Bernie Sanders, or Hillary Clinton for that matter. I mean, did Mark Begich keep his mouth shut every single time during the Obama?
Not every.
Did he? I bet if we went back and looked at it. We could find examples where Mark Begich kept his mouth shut when offensive things were said.
When there were unconstitutional things being
proposed.
I'm going to
find it.
Okay, you go find that. You won't find anything like this outrage that Senator Cruz did.
Oh, goodness.
So the other thing is, you know, as of the other day, 8 of the 23 Republicans in the Senate running for re-election had already said that they would announce they would be willing to meet with Merrick Garland, President Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court. So here's what our U.S. Senator said, Lisa Murkowski. On February 17th, she said, whomever President Barack Obama nominates to replace U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski thinks the nominee deserves to be vetted by the Senate. Okay?
Okay, that's 217. We're going to say 217. Yes.
219.
219.
A mere 2 days later. According to the ADN, she pulled back from an earlier position that the Senate should give a hearing to a nominee to replace the late U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, saying that President Obama shouldn't even nominate a replacement.
Okay, so that's yes on the 17th, yes, no on the 19th.
No, yesterday, so that's a couple of weeks have gone by, there's a flip-flop back to the original flip, or a flop-back, I'm not sure how you say it, but where she said that she now supports giving Garland a hearing, adding, quote, and this is from her press person, quote, the senator never held the position that the nomination should not be considered. So if somebody says, as she apparently did on February 19th, that President Obama shouldn't even nominate a replacement, how do you guys then conclude she's a Republican senator, that the senator never held that position that the nomination should not be considered? Is that because she's saying, don't do it? Don't make one, therefore it will never be considered, therefore I don't have to say that I don't think it ought to be considered. I'm trying to think of the logic here.
What do you think, that they don't have an answer for every single position that they've taken? I mean, come on, they're professional politicians.
Right,
they'll split hairs. Yeah, it might be, no, we didn't actually want it to happen, but now that it's happened, then our position is that, you know. I mean,
well, you would have... Like say, hey, we've given it more thought and think it's important, at least.
It's like the Planned Parenthood thing. For, you know, Murkowski, I mean, that's what you get when you play in the middle. You've got you get poked with that picket fence every now and then, and sometimes it hurts.
Right. So now she, as far as I can imagine, and I haven't done any scientific polling, has... upset people like me for not following through with the process, claiming, according to the talking points, there's precedent of not doing that in an election year, even though that's not true. And now I would imagine she's upsetting people in the Republican base who agreed with her second position that the president shouldn't even nominate anybody.
One of the issues that the senator has is she has alienated a good chunk of the base. She did that 6 years ago. She's gotten a lot of them back, but there are people who will never go with her anymore. So there's a built-in negative factor. I think if you probably looked at her polls, you would see her negative factor. Her built-in negativity would have generally risen, which is common among incumbents, but I think probably maybe a little more than you would imagine or the average, just because of that whole deal. So, she's got that built in, and again, she's trying to be in the middle, and you know, she's running for office.
Right. By the way, do you know if she and Dan Sullivan and Don Young ever disclosed, did they vote for Cruz or Trump or Rubio? And now that Rubio has suspended, do you know?
We talked about this last time.
Have they told you who they're supporting?
No, and I've never told anybody who I've supported either. I don't know what the problem is with that.
All righty. Well, we've reached the halfway point of the program, and I think it's a great time to take a break, take a breath.
Who did you vote for, KRBD Board of Directors? Who? Just kidding.
All of them.
Okay, good answer. We'll be back. Thanks for listening to KRVD and Politics Now with Bob and Kyle. And we're back. And Bob, it's Pledge Week, so Bob wanted to throw a challenge out there, right?
Yeah, I'd like to do a challenge. I would like to, and I will match the first frequency pledge who calls 225-9655 or
1-800-557-5723. Or you can go online because that will show up on our big board here. We will see it. And take advantage of Bob's generosity here.
So you can double your money, and my frequency happens to be 105.30. So,
great. Take advantage. Thanks, Bob.
Here's a chance for you to get some money out of me and double your own.
And you can ask him a question.
And what?
And they can ask you a question.
They could ask a question, too, if they wanted to. Yeah, and even if you don't want to meet that challenge, the phone line here is open if you want to comment on what we've been talking about, or if you have any questions, feel free to call in, no matter where you are out there in radio land.
Oh, there it is. Hold on. Okay, I've got to go. You too.
All right. Okay. We'll carry on.
We'll carry on.
Let's go to the budget and then wrap it up with the candidacy stuff because
sounds good.
The Senate Finance Committee just released a few of their quote, revenue measures. It's really just a shift of responsibility. Did you have some details on that? Because I can kind of throw out what they're doing.
Why don't you go ahead? I certainly have some strong feelings about it, but right. Since I had strong feelings on one of the last subjects or two, why don't you go first?
Well, I mean, I don't know that much about it. It's just I read an article, and basically rather than reduce the budget at the state level at this point, part of their overall plan, I guess I would say it's part of their plan, is to shift liability for retirement on PERS and TERS. Right now, the state, I believe, pays for anything over 22.5% liability?
For PERS, anything over 22, and for TERS, teacher retirement system, I think anything over 12.
Right. So, and years ago, that number was... I think for PERS it was down around 12 or 14 or something. It was moved up to 22, and now it's looking to be moved back. Bottom line is, what it all really means is the state is saying, we're not going to cover those contracts that the school board and the city councils negotiate with the unions. We're not going to cover a portion of the responsibility for retirements. Yes or no?
I don't agree with that. What they're saying is, and let me rephrase it and get back to what I said at the beginning. The legislature said, we're building a bridge. And when they said that, I said, oh, I wonder, is it Gravina Island or is it Knick Arm or some other place where they've been, Second Douglas Crossing? No, it's a bridge into your pocketbook and into my pocketbook. What they're really doing is...
Some may call that a bridge. This might be the next bridge to nowhere.
Right. Yeah, it could be. And I hope it goes nowhere. What they are doing is they have bills for the retirement system. And as Kyle mentioned, right now the state for local government school districts pays anything above 22% if you're in PERS, and anything above 12%, I think, if you're in teacher retirement system. And there's a good reason for that, because it's a state system, they control it, and they goofed. They made huge actuarial errors, or their actuary did, but the state's responsible. So not enough money was put into the system. So the unfunded liability exceeds what the employer and employees were being charged. So the rates went up, and the state said, we'll cover the difference.
And who was governor when that happened again?
And who was in the legislature then?
Who was the governor when that happened? Wasn't me.
I don't know. Who was it?
I think it was Tony Knowles. Wasn't that your guy?
Yeah, I don't.
But anyway, we did sue the actuary. They did.
Right.
They were found liable for doing the books wrong.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just kidding about Tony Knowles.
Right. But anyway, what they're doing
he was
is,
governor.
So they have a bill. It would be like, Kyle, if I had a bill for fuel oil and I sent it to you to get paid, just so I don't have to pay it. I mean, it's absurd. They're not cutting a cost. They're sending a bill from that the state has to local school districts and every local government in the state of Alaska. But it gets better than that. To help pay for it, they're going to reach into some pots of money for a couple of years. But they are going to screw senior citizens and disabled veterans.
What?
Because part of their plan, they are telling local governments who currently there's a state law that says there's a mandatory exemption for seniors 65 years and older and disabled veterans for the first $150,000
for
property.
Exemption. Sure, right.
So they're doing away with that, repealing that, but then telling each community, if you wish, you can have an election in your community to determine whether seniors and disabled veterans should get what they already get and what's already on the books. And
right.
You might say, oh, well, what's wrong
local
with that?
Local option.
Well, number one, there's no reason to do it. It's disingenuous, and I think it's, frankly, unseemly of Anna McKinnon and Pete Kelly to propose
How
in the first place.
How is it unseemly
it's
to
unseemly
give the local
because,
jurisdiction the option to have the tax
Because they are padding their salaries with federal per diem to the tunes of thousands, tens
oh
of thousands,
if you say
tens of thousands
per diem
of
and hotels
so,
again.
So wait a
this
minute. These legislators get $53,000 for a 90-day session, and then they're stuffing $10,000 of reimbursement for lodging and food into their pockets. So they're going to tell seniors, the average senior in Ketchikan makes $12,000 in Social Security. That's a typical income. So they're going to tell that senior while they're stuffing money in their pockets, stuffing it. I mean, the money, you know, they spend a little of it when they go on their junkets to Paris and Turkey and stuff, but stuffing thousands each year into their pockets, and they're telling seniors, screw you, we're going to make you pay 10% of your income to a local for a local tax increase when the voters or if the voters say no. Plus, they're frankly pitting the seniors against other people in the community because some communities will go, oh, well, why should somebody get a tax break? Well, there's a good reason that they get a tax break. They built Alaska. That's why there's a state law. It was not funded. It was an unfunded mandate. We all know that. But the fact is seniors stay here and can afford to stay here because of a longstanding state policy. And I think it's outrageous for the legislature to wink and say, we're going to send the local governments a bill, and if they want to pay for it, they can take it out of the hides of senior citizens and disabled veterans. That's disgusting.
Wow, I don't even know what to say.
All righty. Well, we have a caller on the line, so
yes,
if the two of you will put your headphones on so you can hear the caller, it would be a great idea. All right.
Okay, caller.
Caleb, can you hear it?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. So my question is for both of you guys. It seemed that you both, to some extent, agreed earlier that you did not think that America would or could end up like Nazi Germany or maybe suffer the same fate that Austria did. But I guess my question is, because I see that potential in all of the candidates right now, in one way or another, for it to start swinging that way, why do you hold the position that we could never become that? And I'll just take my answer up here. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, I'm not sure I said that. I think you have Ted Cruz and Donald Trump making some very un-American kinds of statements. Were they to get elected, the question is, would they implement some of that? Could they get it through a Congress, or would they just act through executive orders to do what they felt like? But I think we have some good checks and balances in this country. I just think it's outrageous for candidates to propose wholesale discrimination and police, additional police and political oppression of any minority or religious group or majority. Kyle?
Yeah, well, it's called an election season, and if people don't like what he says, then he won't get elected. Okay. And as far as America turning into Nazi Germany, I mean, come on, give me a break. I mean, if you seriously, I mean, if you think that in this day and age, with the amount of communication that we have in this world and in this country, and the checks and balances that you talked about, that somebody's going to become president and suddenly we're going to be doing awful, atrocious things, you know, the comparison itself is offensive. I'm sorry. I mean, I just think that people just pull out the Nazi Germany card way too quickly, and I know it's a big deal for a lot of people, but, I mean, come on. If you think Ted Cruz is really wants to be a mass murderer of millions of people, I mean, give me a break. That is ridiculous. And so just bringing that up and talking about it, I think, and for that to happen in America, no. Too many checks and balances. It's way too open. There's too much communication these days with the Internet, and I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
And we all have guns.
And we all have guns, yeah. So, you know, pry those guns from Charlton Heston's cold, dead finger bones. I mean, come on.
Right.
I don't know. I don't
right.
mean to
no,
diminish
and
it.
And
I just don't think it can happen.
And I agree. The concern I have is that a couple politicians who happen to be running on your side are making some outrageous policy pronouncements that definitely discriminate, and I believe are unconstitutionally discriminatory against Muslims. And, you know, there's no doubt about it. And so the question I have to ask, well, who's next? And what's next? I mean, anyway, but I agree with you. I don't think we're heading down that road.
I mean,
but that's how, what I did say, that is how things get started in the 30s.
So,
the 30s. 90 years ago. Anyway, go ahead.
I just want you to know that someone did take advantage of your generosity.
Oh, nice.
And Dave Wheeler, we applaud you for hitting Bob up.
Well, thank you. I will pay on the way out.
Excellent work.
Unless I can get out sight unseen.
Excellent work.
Very nice.
So anyway, we were, I think we pretty much finished up on that. But the stay, those proposals, and they're ending the scholarship program that Governor Parnell had started. That
right,
I guess it had quite a bit of success getting Alaskans to go to college, try harder to get into college, and stay in the state to go to college.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because Parnell came out with this scholarship program being a conservative Republican, and suddenly he comes out with this grand $300 million proposal to basically fund college education in state for the top 10% of students, which is a really, as you said, very successful from all intents and purposes of getting a lot of people to stay in the state and keeping kids going to the University of Alaska, Anchorage, and Fairbanks, etc.
And didn't the word sustainable come into play with that scholarship? That he's confused why they're considering cutting it. It's self-sustaining.
Well, I think they.
Do I understand that?
Yeah, I think the governor had, and this is Governor Parnell, had proposed and the legislature accepted some version of they put $400 million aside and it generates something like $11 million in scholarships every year.
It's like a little tiny permanent fund. That,
right.
But I mean, and the problem with that is it's a big fat pot of money. I mean, it's a big fat pot of money that churns off money to pay for scholarships. And so when you don't have any money, well, then you got to take that big pot of money because. What else are you going to do? Either you give away free scholarships, or then every other program under the sun gets compared to it, and you debate which one do you want to keep. Do you want to keep Medicaid, or do you want to have scholarships? Do you want to keep troopers, or do you want scholarships?
Right, but and then the final thing they're doing is pretty much eliminating revenue sharing, and I can understand why that would be cut. They are going to change it so the small communities that won't exist without some revenue sharing will get some, but for the larger communities, I think it's going to be cut in half this year, and I don't know what happens in future years.
Well,
so we're going to begin to learn around here what the real cost of local government is once there's no revenue
sharing. And
that's
the deal.
The state.
Once there's no revenue sharing, and once, see, here, this is the disconnect, and I do want to talk about candidates. So we have about 10 minutes left, but this gets back to the local argument about the borough and the school board. This is a parallel with the state of Alaska writing checks for contracts that are negotiated by cities and boroughs. The borough assembly writes checks for contracts that are negotiated by the school board. So there's that natural friction between people who do the negotiating and people who write the checks. So, for example, here in Ketchikan, the city just got an agreement with the IBEW, I believe, or the 1540s, yeah, the IBEW, on a three-year, I think it's got a 3%, 2%, 2% raise or something like that. So along with that comes all these retirement costs, and you look at, you extrapolate that out completely. Part of that money is the money that the state's paying for in the long term.
Let me just correct you on one thing. IBEW members do not participate in state retirement. They participate.
Okay.
But nonetheless, there's a cost to local citizens because benefits are a function of the salary. But
that's right.
But it's not the state in that case.
Nonetheless, somebody has to pay for it, and bottom line, the state's going to be paying less for it. The locals are going to be paying more because it's the local boards that are doing a lot of the negotiating.
Right.
So, I mean, in a way, you can see how some people can justify, and it happens here with the school board. The assembly's writing the checks and the school board's doing negotiating.
Okay, so we have to move on, but I do want to just throw a quote out here and then ask people, ask listeners, what do you think? So given that the legislature is going to send their bills to the cities and school districts for retirement, they're proposing to remove the property tax exemption for seniors and disabled veterans and make it optional, get rid of revenue sharing. I'll leave you with a quote. Senator Pete Kelly, Fairbanks, says, "It is not our intent to abdicate responsibility." What do you think, listeners? Kyle, do you want to move on to your
I stopped listening to Pete Kelly in about 1997.
So, no, go on to your next
item. I don't know. Let's go. His brother is quite a character, though.
He has other
Mike.
Family members.
Yeah, he was my seatmate up there in Juneau. He's an interesting guy. Okay, so we started off with the caucuses, and I was thinking about this because I just think about things, and I read that the Republicans in town have their caucus, their get-together. 20 people show up, and which is great, and they elect officers and do all this good stuff.
I thought they had more of a voting.
I don't know. Who knows?
Okay,
the point is 20 people showed up.
Oh. I thought it was more than that. Okay.
No, that's what the paper said.
Oh, okay.
It was in the paper. It's got to be true.
Okay.
I mean, come on. And the Democrats, like you said, overflowing. You guys had to go outside in the rain.
We had a caucus out in the rain.
40 people?
That's
something
correct.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I just can't figure this out. So the Republicans have a candidate for State House. They have a candidate for State Senate. Bert Stedman for Senate, and they've got Bob Sievertson, right, as their candidate. So they're set. They've got their candidates and their deal. Now, but they don't seem like, 20 people, that doesn't seem like a big party. It doesn't seem like a real lot of, let's go. The Democrats, by comparison, it just seemed like it was just a festival of energy. And as you said, you were there. You said you were signing new people up.
Yeah,
there was new blood.
It was great.
You had to do it outside in the rain. There were so many people.
It was actually a fun event.
Right.
But I realized it was frustrating for people either not used to a caucus or that it took longer to get through it. But it was fun.
So out of all of those people and all of that energy and excitement and enthusiasm, you guys don't have a candidate for either office. Why is that? Why don't you guys have a candidate? There's so much enthusiasm. Is the party not going to field candidates? Have you guys given up? Are there people that are interested? Were there nominations at this thing for to run?
It was a presidential primary.
I know, but you go in a big group of 250 people, you're going to talk about stuff. Was anybody like, was there a hot name out there like so-and-so's thinking about running? I mean, come on, that's not that you have to disclose.
If there was, I never heard it.
So no chatter about people?
I didn't hear any chatter. It was all focused on Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. One of whom will be the Democratic nominee.
So could one deduce from all of this that there's no candidates, that maybe the party, which you're a member of, an active member of the caucus, may be tacitly supporting Dan Ortiz, the independent?
I don't know if there will be a Democratic candidate or not. That will be up to, you know, somebody who may or may not want to run. Dan Ortiz, I don't know if he's officially announced. I imagine he has, that he is going to seek re-election.
He's filed his paperwork.
And it may be that Democrats and independent voters feel okay that even if he's not a Democrat, some views and priorities are held close to his heart.
So you're saying possibly that nobody's going to run because, like you just said, the views and values of Dan Ortiz are pretty much Democratic?
No, I mean, as you know, it's a big deal to decide you're going to run for State House.
I also know parties actively look for candidates, and I'm just saying 250 people and all of that activity, no, there's no candidates for the party.
We're focused like a laser beam on the getting our candidate for president and to the White House.
And which candidate is that again?
Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. But in the state of Alaska, Bernie Sanders. You know?
It's just interesting. So
we're gonna take care of you, okay, billionaires.
So let me get this to you. So what happens if we end up with Sievertson with the Republicans, I mean, they're not going to look for anybody else. They're desperately trying to find somebody to take that office. And Ortiz, and that's the ballot for the general election, because there won't be a primary
there might be a primary. As you know, the Democrats proposed a rule that would allow independent candidates to be on the primary ballot.
So if that possibly happens, whatever. But, I mean, the way things are now, if we end up with Sievertson as a Republican and Ortiz as the independent, do you think the local Democrat Party would endorse an independent?
I wouldn't know how to answer that, so I don't know.
I mean, is it possible?
I don't believe the party did last time. I mean, some of it could be the outcome of the court case.
Sure.
If Democrats are allowed to add independents into the Democratic primary, then possibly. I think I'm not that familiar with the rationale behind the rule, but I think it was to say, hey, if there's a good independent as opposed to a Democrat who may not be well-regarded, it would allow the Democratic Party to officially support an independent.
Right. Let's just say that this issue that you seem to be trying to muddy the waters with is completely off the table. And let's just say it's Ortiz and Sievertson. I mean, would you feel comfortable walking into the Democrat Party and making a motion to support an independent? I mean, whether it's Dan Ortiz or not.
I don't know if I would make a motion. I might, if I were asked or not, I might say which of the two candidates I favor and why. And somebody could agree or disagree.
It's possible.
If you
get enough votes, you could get the Democrat Party to endorse an independent.
That's not what I said, but...
I'm just asking, is it possible?
I think we know Dan Ortiz won last time with independent and Democratic voter support.
Sure.
It didn't help that Randy Ruedrich sent out that nasty gram days before the election, and your candidate had to disavow it. But,
So what if nobody... Okay.
So, what's your question? What is really your question?
What is really my question?
Are you announcing you're running tonight?
Because what if nobody files for the Democrat side?
nobody filed in 2000.
Right. What if nobody files? You know what that means? That means anybody can file and get on the general election ballot without any opposition.
Right.
I just want to say this right now. It could be the end of politics now if you run as a Democrat, because I can't have two Democrats.
Well, naturally, naturally.
You have 1 minute but to you, wrap
if,
this
if
up.
If he did, I would certainly go out of my way to point out he's a faux Democrat.
Yeah,
but tell me, so
the Democrats aren't going to step up and put somebody with a D on their name on their slot for the ballot. Then it should serve them right if someone like me comes along and goes, you know what? And you can do this. I checked this out when I ran as an independent. You can walk into the Division of Elections on the final day at 4:30 and say, you know what? I think I'm a Democrat today. And sign up as a Democrat, change your voter registration, and file for office. And you would be on the November ballot unopposed right through the primary. And it would be a three-way race.
And with that,
but you might not get any support.
Who cares?
We are going to say goodnight and thank you all for listening.
I think you ought to do that.
Will we be back April 30th? That's 2 weeks. April 13th. I'm sorry. Today's the 30th.
If I don't file.
No. We'll be back April 13th.
If I file.
It'll be a continuing saga. We'll find out. Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks.